and welcome to Marching On, the podcast brought to you by the ACLU of Kansas. I'm Esme Tseng, Communications Director at the ACLU of Kansas, and I thank you for tuning in. There is a variety of ways that any one of us can participate in democracy, but voting, of course, remains one of the cornerstones. It's the most direct line for Kansans to make their voice heard, and that's why it's so important that we remove the systemic barriers that prevent people from being able to exercise their voting rights. A major barrier that we've identified in Kansas is a lack of language access for voting materials. Tens of thousands of eligible Kansas voters speak a primary language other than English. For many, even being proficient in English for day-to-day use still leaves them confused at the technical jargon and the confusing wording used in our elections. If you've ever had to read and then reread and then read again a convoluted ballot initiative while you're in the voting booth, you can probably appreciate how much more confounding that experience is when it's written in your second language. So we know that locally, Kansans tend to be extremely supportive of their neighbors, and now thousands have signed our petitions in Wyandotte and Johnson counties, calling for language access by offering voting materials in Spanish. We are also seeing more cities and counties passing resolutions that join their community members in advocating for this language access. So all of these folks are asking election commissioners and Secretary of State Scott Schwab to just make voting more accessible. So that brings me to today's podcast, which is a recording of a rally for voting rights that we held around 4th of July this summer. We had advocates speak on their experiences, highlighting the importance of language access, while also securing even more signatures to show the Secretary of State just how popular and needed language access is in Kansas. On the pod, you'll hear from Erica Andrade, President and CEO of El Centro, Lindsay Ford, who's the Executive Director of the Voter Network, and Muñeca Nieves, a Johnson County advocate from Puerto Rico. And lastly, of course, our very own Micah Kubik, the Executive Director of the ACLU of Kansas. So without further ado, I will toss it over to our first speaker, Erica.
Hi, my name is Erica Andrade. I'm President and CEO of El Centro. Super excited to be here and excited to see the people that care about language access in Johnson County, as they should care about it everywhere. Language access is just another way to ensure that individuals that have the ability to vote are able to vote. They're able to vote in the language that they're most comfortable with. It's all about community engagement, and community engagement is something that everybody should support. Being a smart voter, being an informed voter, really does help democracy, voting rights. All of them, including access to language, is one of the tenets of what this country was built on. We should be supporting everybody that can vote to vote, and that includes language access. Language access does not harm anybody. It does not harm the democracy of this country. It does not harm the rights of anybody. An informed community is a smart community, is a healthy community, and that's something that we should all be supporting. So I, along with everybody at El Centro and everybody that's here with me today, we support language access in all of its forms so that all of its citizens should have the same access to voting, in a language that they're comfortable with, in the language that they're going to be the most informed in. And that's something that doesn't hurt democracy. It strengthens democracy.
My name is Lindsay Ford. I'm the executive director of the Voter Network. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to building stronger communities across Kansas through voter education and engagement. We believe that when more folks participate in elections, everyone benefits. People who know me know how proud I am to be a Kansan. I can probably name more counties than any of you. That's a challenge. I also only kept ornate box turtles as pets. No, that's not true about the ornate box turtle. But even if you can't name our state reptile, motto, flower, mammal, I bet you all know the role Kansas played in our country's history. We are a state that from its very beginning stood up for freedom, for equality under the law, and for the belief that we as a nation can always grow closer to our founding ideals, that we are all created equal, and that democracy only works if everyone has a fair and equal chance to be heard. Today, I stand here to add my voice to this effort because I believe language access is one more step on that journey toward our highest aspirations, that we, the people, should not just mean some of the people. There are no asterisks in our founding documents. There's no fine print that says only if you speak perfect English. Voting can be challenging, especially in local elections like the ones we have this year. Kansans are hardworking and all of us are busy. Maybe you have the best laid plans to go vote and then check the engine light comes on, your coworker calls in sick, or maybe you're scrambling for childcare because your 8-year-old son keeps getting sent home from summer camp for jumping off stuff that's too high. Or maybe that's just me. But even when you do have the time, voting can feel intimidating. Most people think they should already know what to do, and they're afraid to ask questions. Heck, I do this for a living, and I still panic a little bit when I get my ballot, and there are lots of candidates for the Johnson County Board of Community College trustees, and I don't know them all. People don't like to do things that make them feel stupid, even when they know it's important. And here's the thing, people do think voting's important. Pew Research shows that 91% of Americans consider the right to vote essential to their personal sense of freedom. 70% of Americans will say that voting is both very important for being a good member of society and also gives them some say in how their government works. But do you know how many people actually vote in every election in Kansas? Anybody? It's about 1 in 10 residents of Kansas vote in every election. I'm not even talking about the obscure ones, like those mail-in school bond elections. I'm talking about every November we have an election, 10% of folks come out in each of those. When 10% of folks show up every time, that's not representative. And in my opinion, that's too much power in the hands of too few people. On top of all those challenges, now add a language barrier. And what already feels kind of challenging can now be quite daunting. And when people feel shut out of the process, they stop believing it belongs to them. The impact is clear right here in Johnson County. During the last round of local elections in 2023, turnout among registered white voters was 30%, while turnout among registered Latino voters was just 13%. That gap isn't just a stat. This is about who does and doesn't get heard. When certain communities don't vote, their needs aren't prioritized in decisions about healthcare, education, housing, and all those policies that shape our daily lives. But here's the good news. We can change this. We already have the tools, the resources, and the public support to expand access. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it makes our democracy more fair and more representative. At the Voter Network, we believe in relational organizing, reaching people where they are, in the language they understand best, through the people closest to them. That's how we build trust, and that's how we increase participation. And that's how we live out the Kansas values, fairness, community, and taking care of our neighbors. So today, we're not asking for anything too burdensome. We're asking for what every voter deserves: clear information, a ballot they can read, and a process that feels open, not closed off. We're asking our local leaders to show Secretary of State Scott Schwab that Johnson County supports language access, not because it's political, because it's principled. In closing, let me say this. Democracy works best when everyone can participate. Let's make sure that every voter in Johnson County knows that they matter, that their voice counts, and that their vote is welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. My name is Muñeca, and I'm a proud 19-year resident of Shawnee, Kansas. And I get to share my personal experiences with voter access. And I've had the opportunity to travel the world. I've had the opportunity to meet naturalized citizens. And I'm a proud Puerto Rican. So I've been a U.S. citizen since birth. My parents have been U.S. citizens since the inception of the Jones Act. And that's really important to understand. With that, I want to share three stories. The first one is a dear friend of mine. She came to the United States from Spain as a postdoctoral student. So if she's a postdoctoral student, she's pretty smart. And she also has a strong command of the language. And so she was here. She had the opportunity to get her postdoc. The postdoc led to a work permit and also her ultimate decision to become a citizen. She was naturalized spring of 2021. So she got to vote in her first election, midterms of 2022. By this time, she was married and had a child, and she was excited, and she knew her candidate. She knew who she was going to vote for. And it wasn't the electors that had her. When, you know, all these midterm elections always have bills that you need to vote on, and taxes and this and change and something or other. She wasn't prepared for that. And even though she says and feels comfortable in saying that she's 90% proficient in English and had to defend a dissertation in English, She sat there and she stood looking at these bills written in legalese and felt very lost. And she read and she felt that she made the right decision, but didn't feel confident in those votes. Her husband waited for her. Hey, what took you so long? And she's just like, well, I was having a hard time with those bills. What did you vote for? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? I just kind of check boxes. And she goes, don't you think it's important to read? And he said, didn't you ask for a ballot in Spanish? She's like, I didn't know. She's like, yeah, you can ask for a ballot in Spanish. So, okay, 2022 midterms were said and done. And she was ready for the general election 2024, made her phone calls, made sure she got her ballot in Spanish. And I spoke to her last night in preparation for this talk, and she said that she felt so much more confident because even though she is highly proficient in English, and I would even go dare to say she's probably more proficient than native speakers, she was most comfortable and most confident in Spanish. The second story is about my aunt. As I said earlier, I'm Puerto Rican. I still have a lot of family back home. And as many of you know, September of 2017, Hurricane Maria struck. Fortunately, but unfortunately, my area was not declared a disaster. So even though that meant that it wasn't as bad as other places, that meant that all the help that we needed got to us last. My aunt had all of her children stateside. Her children decided we need to bring mommy to the States. We don't know what's going on. We don't know when everything is going to be okay. Let's bring mommy over. Now, I want everybody to know that my aunt does speak English. She can order food. She can get directions. She could drive. She can order from a restaurant. It's not that she couldn't speak English, but food and menus and shopping on Amazon, those are all tangible things. So even though back home in Puerto Rico, she was very, very, very active in the community, she felt out of place. And when it came time for her to vote, as a U.S. citizen, and she established residency in Fort Rucker, Alabama, she didn't. And her kids asked her why. And she goes, I don't understand. I don't understand what these taxes mean, or I don't know what this place is, and I don't know what they're asking. So I don't feel comfortable voting on something that I don't know what it is. She ultimately went back home. But in preparing for this talk, I spoke to her children last night. And they all decided that, you know, their mistake in bringing her over, they all made sure that they had the house and she was prepared and she had everything that she needed. But they didn't understand how important language access was to her in terms of community and in terms of doing the right thing as an American citizen. So their plan, because she's now in her 80s, when the time comes for her to move to the United States, they will make sure that she is in a state where language access is not a question, where it will be in hospitals and schools and the voter box and everywhere. That way she has her opportunity to be a part of the community of choice. The last story is mine. It's nothing as major or prolific as the other two, but I do have a wonderfully handsome son who is nonverbal autistic. That means he gets a lot of services through the county. And every month I go through the mail, I get his mail, and I pull it out, and it's in English and Spanish and Chinese and Korean and Hindi and in so many other languages. I've worked in spaces that offer both languages or multiple languages to all the people that they serve. I go to school in places that offer language access in terms of calendars and news. I've worked in hospitals, I've worked in nursing homes where all of these things exist. So I really question why this is even a question. I don't understand. We are excluding people because English is not their first language. English is not the language that they're most comfortable in, even though they may be proficient in their day-to-day. And so I'm here to advocate for all those like my family, like my friends, like my son. Everybody deserves a voice, and everybody deserves a voice in the language that they're most comfortable in. Thank you.
thank you all for coming out this morning to support democracy, to support voting rights, to support language access here in Johnson County and across the state of Kansas. It's so gratifying to see so many folks here today, but also to know that they represent just a tiny portion of the folks in this county and in this state who support democracy, who support voting rights, who support language access. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more who have signed the petition already to Secretary of State Scott Schwab and to the Johnson County Commission asking for language access here. Now, we are here today, July 1st, the very beginning of July, because later this week, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day. And when we celebrate the 4th of July, we are not just celebrating America the place, America our home. No, we are also celebrating America the idea, America the possibility, America the aspiration. We are supporting and celebrating an idea that everyone counts. We are supporting an idea of freedom and justice and equality. We are celebrating the possibility of that for everyone. We should be very clear that throughout our history, those founding principles of freedom and justice and equality have not included everyone, but we have gradually expanded them. We've gradually said the possibility extends to everyone. And so that is what we are celebrating this 4th of July, that idea, that aspiration, even as we say we ain't there yet. We still have some work to do, especially today when democracy is under attack in this country. Democracy is under attack every day in Washington. It's under attack in Topeka, and it's under attack in our local communities as well. It's under attack because democracy is not just voting rights. Although we are here today to say we support voting rights, we believe in voting rights, we want the ballot for everyone, democracy is more than voting rights. It is instead the idea that everybody matters, that everybody has a seat at the table, that everyone is part of our community rather than excluded from it. And the one thing that we can say about all the attacks on civil rights and civil liberties that we see in Washington, in Topeka, in Johnson County, is that each and every one of them is about kicking somebody out. Each and every one of them is about saying someone is excluded from our community. And so if we say that America is an idea and an aspiration, then it is our job to push back on that idea that some people don't count, that some people are not part of the community. Voting rights are a symbol for who matters, for who is part of us, and who is not. And that is why we are here today to say that we want more people to count. We want to stand up and say we believe in voting rights as a symbol for who we are, who we want to be, and who we ought to be. And that's why we are here today, because we believe in voting rights. We believe in language access as a way of saying we are defending democracy. You can be concerned about Donald Trump. I certainly am. You can be concerned about the legislature in Topeka. You can be concerned about what is happening here in this county and counties across the state. One way, one concrete way to do something about that, to push back on a narrative of exclusion, to push back on a narrative about taking freedom and justice away from others, is to stand up for language access, to stand up for voting rights. And so that's why we are here. Because there's one person who has the power to say who is going to be included in our community and who is not. There's one person who, with the sign of a pen, with a very simple act, can make sure that thousands of people here in Johnson County who currently feel excluded, who are eligible citizens, who want to participate but just have barriers, one person can make all that go away. That one person is Secretary of State Scott Schwab. Now, Secretary Schwab has done a lot of good things on voting rights, some things I disagree with, but he cares about the way elections work, he cares about making sure that the system works, and he cares whether folks in local communities believe in the integrity of their elections or not. And so our job here today is to let him know that there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people who want something better for Johnson County. To show him that there is support for expanding access, to making language access available. We want him to know that if he takes this one simple gesture, there's going to be lots of folks standing behind him saying that's what America is supposed to be. And so today we call not just on Secretary Schwab to do that, but we call on every single city government here in Johnson County and on the Johnson County Board of County Commissioners to signal their support too. The decision does not lie with them, but we want them to come forward and say, these are our values. This is the America we want. This is the America we believe in. This is the America that we are celebrating on the 4th of July. We are celebrating an America that is inclusive. We are celebrating an America where everyone's voice counts. And we are celebrating an America where language is not the basis for whether you can participate and be part of our community or not. This is not the only thing to do on voting rights. We all know there are lots of attacks around us today. So we got to stand up for democracy in every way. We got to make sure that access to the ballot is protected, that voter suppression is stopped in communities, in courts, in Congress. And we're going to do all that too. All of that is important. But what is also important is to know that if you are feeling like there is nothing you can do, if you are feeling like democracy is under attack and you want to do something to champion it, this is the thing to do right here, right now. It's to stand up for language access, to sign the petition, to let Secretary Schwab know this is the America we believe in. The America we want to celebrate, it's not here yet, but thanks to folks like all of you here today and many more, we're going to get to the America that we deserve and that we celebrate in our dreams. Thank you all very much.
Thank you again to all the speakers who joined us for the Rally for Democracy. Providing better language access is absolutely about building a more inclusive and more representative democracy, but it's also part of a larger conversation that we're having in Kansas and this country about who belongs in our community, how we treat them, and how we dismantle the barriers to their belonging. If you'd like to get in on the fun and show your support, go to aclukansas.org/language-access and use the form to tell elected officials in Johnson County that you support language access. That's aclukansas.org/language-access. We've already seen some action in direct response to our community's advocacy in various cities, so please join us in keeping the messages coming and we can show decision makers that there is support for helping Kansas voters. That does it for this episode. Tune in next month for more conversations with the people who are at the heart of the movement working for civil rights in Kansas. And until next time, keep marching on.